The Big Scary Show is brought to you in part by Dark Imaginings, web design, creepy changing portraits, and much, much more. DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for the Big Scary Show.
This is author David Joe. I've written The Broken Ones, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is the artist Joel Robinson, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Tim Turner from The Ghoulish Gallery, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Lee George with Ticket Leap, TicketLeap.com, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
The Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
This is Ari Lehman, the first Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show. Jason never dies.
Hi, this is Barry Bostwick from the Rocky Horror Picture Show and many, 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 many other things, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
It's episode 162 of The Big Scary Show, and happy Independence Day from everyone here at the show. Meet Hook Jim and I, along with the Lady of Darkness and the Spirit Seer Dawn, head to Indianapolis for the last Days of the Dead in Indianapolis for 2018, and came back with some really cool interviews we hope you'll enjoy. There's no round table of terror, as our table is being refinished by the Amish, but we do have Storm at ScareCon with a panel about horror podcasting. Badger's back with Deadline News, and Storm's back again with a rant in a Haunt Minute. Meet Hook Jim returns with Between the Corpses, talking about the road to Days of the Dead Indie 2018. We have a question for the gruesome giveaway. Feister is back talking about a review of the Netflix anime Godzilla Planet of the Monsters film, and more about upcoming Godzilla news and projects. Now I'll be spinning tunes for you. All this and more on the Independence Day episode 162 of The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Hostromentalist Jerry Vane, and we are at Days of the Dead Indianapolis, checking out all the different vendors here and everything. God, I'm starting to sound like Badger. Somebody shoot me. And came across a booth here, and we've talked many times before, but this is the first time you're going to be on the show. I'm with artist Joel Robinson. Joel, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
Dude, every time I walk past your booth, it's like the colors on these on your artwork just pop out. What is the medium? What are you using?
It's a mixture. The background texturing is done with watercolor, and then everything else, I use a Cintiq, a Wacom Cintiq, where you draw on the glass. And I usually work anywhere from 3 feet tall to 6 feet tall, and then shrink it down.
Oh, wow. And these are, you know, so this is all hand-painted, not digital or anything like that?
It is digital.
Oh, okay.
Digitally painted.
You had me completely surprised.
Yeah, the texturing, the watercolor, that's all, you know,
done
with, you know, Bounty Towel and different things to get the texture, and then when I go over top of it painting digitally, it pulls that watercolor and it looks, you know, it make makes it look more, it gives a nice texture to it and makes it, you know, kind of really pulls that.
And I like the fact that a lot of this, not all of it's horror. You've got some sci-fi stuff and everything. The Bruce Campbell one, the Bubba Hotep one. Storm, you got to see this. You would like this one. How long have you been doing this?
I've been creating art my whole life, but just for the last 10 years, I've been doing these shows, and then I've been working for doing Blu-ray covers and stuff. I've done stuff for Scream Factory and Synapse, and I've been doing that for 5 years.
Any movies we'd know?
I've done. I've worked with. I did Misery, Stephen King's Misery. Lawnmower Man with him, and Carrie, all Stephen King. And then I did, for Clive Barker, I did Lord of Illusions and Nightbreed. And then I did Wes Craven, I did Serpent and Rainbow. Quite a few. I've done about almost 30 covers.
Oh,
I think,
wow.
I think around 28 covers.
Now, you got a lot of celebrity ones. Sid Haig, Dee Snider. Have any of these celebrities seen your artwork?
Yes, they have. They have. That's kind of like when I got started, I kind of picked people I wanted to meet, and this was a good icebreaker. And some of them have developed, you know, friendships with them. I just did something for Sid Haig. I just did a piece for him for him and his wife for their 10-year anniversary.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. All right, so if anybody's interested in checking out your stuff and looking at your art covers and everything, where can they find you?
They can find me at artpusher.net.
And do you have a presence on Facebook or anything?
Yes, I do. And it's just Joel Robinson. And then I have a like page that's The Art of Joel Robinson.
Very cool. All right. Go check out the artwork. This is some great stuff. This is the Hauntmentalist Jerry Vane. I'm going to have to edit that part out because I stumble on my tongue. Because obviously this is why they don't have me do interviews. Anyway, we're at Days of the Dead, and I am out.
Are you looking for a comprehensive ticketing solution for your haunted attraction? HauntPay has the answer. We skip the features you don't need and focus on the ones you like, such as timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundle and combo tickets, social media discounts, and now featuring all-in-one options including managing your tickets online and at the door, as well as upselling and managing your merchandise and concessions with a comprehensive report on everything at the end of the night. Head on over to HauntPay.com and get started in 60 seconds for free.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for Deadline News here on The Big Scary Show with your host, me, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest in the haunted house, Halloween, and horror industries. Hello everyone, this is Drew Badger. This is Deadline News for episode 162, and we are going to start out with some news from the Scream Hollow Haunted Attraction in Smithville, Texas. Attention horror fans! Are you horror addicted? Do you wish every holiday was Halloween? Duh. Do you hide in your closet at home just to jump out and scare an unsuspecting family member? How did they know? Then we are looking for you! Scream Hollow is hiring new actors and haunters for the 2018 season. If you're interested, fill out an application at ScreamHollow.com. We're looking for people to fill volunteer and paid positions. Get more information at ScreamHollow.com or their Facebook page, Facebook.com/ScreamHollow.WickedHalloweenPark. We have a little news from the Hollywood Horror Fest in Hollywood, California. The festival's Saturday night, July 28th, is a big one. 1988's classic horror film, Night of the Demons, celebrates its 30th anniversary with a cast and crew reunion headed by its uber-talented director, Kevin Tenney, with Philip Tanzini, Kathy Podwell, Kevin Kuchaver, Kathy Zielinski, Steve Johnson, Lance Fenton, Billy Gallo, and Hal Havens, possibly more guests to be announced. It's also a great chance to buy tickets for the Celebrity Raffle, fundraising for the wonderful Vincent Price Art Museum. And we'll be topping it off with a fun 1980s themed party with a full bar, if you have ID. The best 1980s cosplayers win some amazing prizes. And to add to the 80s fun, we're honored to have iconic 80s MTV babe, Sister Christian, from the much-loved Night Ranger music video. It's her first and possibly only event appearance in the world. There'll be vendors, snacks in the kitchen, celebrity raffles, plus lots of fun giveaways, too. More guests and party info to be announced in the coming weeks. Get your tickets early and party like it's 1988. Get more info at HollywoodHorrorFest.com. We have this news from Planet Doom Haunted House in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Greetings, mortals. Would you like to have fun scaring the beep out of people for a great cause? Want to play a role in Eastern Idaho's largest and most terrifying haunted attraction this fall? We are looking for scare actors and haunt volunteers for the upcoming season. The commitment is 19 nights, mostly on weekends. Season survivors will win awesome prizes at our end-of-season party. Meet us at the back of the building on Friday, July 20th at 7 p.m. at 680 First Street in Idaho Falls. We scare for DARE, which is a very worthy charity. Get more info at facebook.com/planetdoomhaunt. We have this update from CreepyCon in Knoxville, Tennessee. We are excited to announce the addition of the Rigor and Mortis Brothers Sideshow and Creature Seeker Auditorium at CreepyCon Halloween and Horror Convention coming up August 24th and 25th at the World's Fair Exhibition Hall in downtown Knoxville. We have details online at CreepyConKnoxville.com. We have this hiring news from the Phantom Fright Nights at Bradley Farms in Elmira, New York. Calling all haunters, are you really, really into Halloween? Yes. Do you want to be a part of our team? Now is your chance. We need people to join our team. We will need actors for our indoor house, zombies for our zombie paintball, and returning this year, our outdoor ride/walk. Exciting changes have happened in the outdoor event, so we need people willing to interact with wagon loads of people, as well as face-to-face as haunties walk or run through the woods and the cornfields. We also need security staff, support staff, and staff to operate our daytime corn maze. Please note, even previous employees will need to process an application for the program. You can apply directly at Phantom Fright Nights, Bradley Farms, HauntScheduler.com, and keep in mind, Fright Nights has a PH instead of an F. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/FrightNights at Fright Night at Bradley Farms. Again, Fright Night spelled with a PH. We have this news from the Nightmare Dungeon in Greenville, South Carolina. That's right. It's Friday the 13th, Part 2. The Abandoned Cabin has another Friday the 13th event planned for you July 13th on Friday the 13th and the 14th. Even if it's raining, we've got you covered. Nightmare Friday the 13th this year is going to be one hell of a night that you don't want to miss, and you get to go backwards this time. That's right, backwards. If you've been to the abandoned cabin before, you'll see a total difference in a backwards tour through the cabin. Nothing will be the same as last April when we had our other Friday the 13th event. You'll be trapped inside with Jason, and he's feeling some kind of way this year. On this night and this night only, you will meet him face to face, and he's going to get as close as he wants to in your face, and who knows what else he has in mind. He can touch you, grab you, do whatever he wants to you, these two nights only. A lot changes on these two special nights in the cabin, and we don't go by the rules. You'll see what we mean. Some of you might not be able to find your way out of this two-story cabin in the woods on these twisted nights. And, as a bonus, or not, the Dead City Clowns will be all up in your face these two nights as well. No other haunted attraction in South Carolina has the Dead City Clowns, and they will give you the hell you've been waiting on, guaranteed. Only at Nightmare Dungeon Haunted Attraction. The attraction starts July 13th this year, runs two nights, the 13th and 14th. All 35 twisted creeps and freaks will be lurking the walls of the abandoned cabin, so be sure to check them out. It opens after dark on July 13th at 645 Old Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Tickets are sold at the door. Get more info at nightmaredungeon.com. We have this update from Scares That Care in Williamsburg, Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives us great pleasure to announce a new guest for the Scares That Care Charity Weekend 5, joining us to fight real monsters, the star of Powder, Boondock Saints, Dexter, and many others, Sean Patrick Flannery. Come join us for their fifth year for a weekend of spooky fun that truly helps real people. Get more information at scaresthatcareweekend.com. We have a little hiring news from the Haunted Forest at Grand Farms in Vaughan, Washington. We need actors. We're looking for a few more brave souls to join our haunt team to scare in the Forest of No Souls in October. Open auditions are July 14th and 15th from 4 to 6 p.m. in the depths of the forest. Who will be the brave souls to get hired to scare families and friends in October? Could be you. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/forestofnosouls. We have this news regarding the first inaugural zombie prom from Demon's Gate Haunted Hayride in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Dig up a date and join us August 4th from 6 to 11 for the Zombie Prom at the Irem Temple, 70 Ridgeway Drive in Dallas, PA. Only $15 a person, tickets available at the door, or you can get advanced tickets by calling Matt at 570-814-6034. The prom includes a DJ, contest, prizes, and chance to be crowned prom king or queen. Zombie attire is a must. If you do not have makeup, you can make an appointment to have it done for an additional fee by calling 570-762-4519. Food, drinks, and 50-50 are additional. There's a cash bar available, but you must be 21 with valid ID. Get more information at facebook.com/demonsgatekeeper33. And finally, we have this news on the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium coming to Long Beach, California. The Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium is the one event for industry professionals in Southern California where you can learn and network with the best and the brightest in the themed entertainment industry. The second annual Leadership Symposium is July 30th aboard the historic and haunted Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. The theme of this year's event is First Impressions. Besides presentations by leading industry professionals on this theme, the day's activities will include a tour of the Queen Mary and a preview of the upcoming Dark Harbor Halloween event. Dive deep into this theme with industry experts and moderators, crafting memorable first impressions using the key elements of elevation, insight, pride, and connection, which is the touchstone for presentations at this year's event. Added to this year's symposium will be discussions following each speaker's presentation. During these discussions, attendees will meet and share their thoughts about what they've just learned and use workbooks to integrate this into their experience and vision for their own attractions. Deepening the learning using the discussion and workbook format assures the information goes home with the participant and becomes part of their reservoir of knowledge. As a bonus, experience the Queen Mary by enjoying an exclusive preview of Dark Harbor and Q&A with the team. plus tour the ship with the Queen Mary Attractions team and enjoy the opportunity to discover more about the ship's operations directly from the team. Get more information and tickets at facebook.com/hauntedattractionsnetwork. That sounds like a lot of fun. And remember, folks, you can get more information about each and every haunt mentioned on Deadline News or the Big Scary News simply by going to findahaunt.com. That's findahaunt.com. Remember, folks, if you have news in the haunted house, Halloween, or horror industries, and you want it on the show, email it to us, news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the show. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Psychocharger. Channel 13. With Uncle Pigors of Toxic Tunes. On the Big Scary Show.
Hello, fiend. This is the cruel duo. And you have your radios tuned to the unluckiest of channels. Channel 13. I'll be your host this evening, giving you the latest and greatest hits from 6 feet under. Like this grizzly pony.
Up your show? Need to pump new life into old props? Just want to show something no one else has? Do what Alice Cooper, Distortions Unlimited, and A-list haunters all over the world do. Wear Von Karon. Durable, handcrafted, dependable, year after year. Von Karon. When you scare enough to wear the very best. VonKaron.com. V-O-N. CHARON.com.
All right, haunters, Meat Hook Jim here, Days of the Dead 2018, Indianapolis, Indiana. And yeah, I'm talking...
And me too.
Oh, and yeah, the Honstrumentalist, whatever his name is, Jerry Vane, that's it. We, you know, this is a horror convention, not a haunt convention. And lo and behold, somebody that's near and dear to our heart with the Haunters, I'm talking about Paul Lanner with Haunters Against Hate. Paul, if I'm not mistaken, this is your first horror convention.
You are correct. This is the first time I'm attending a horror convention.
And how has the response been so far? I know it's been going on about a day, or roughly a day. How has the response been?
So far, it's been wonderful. And the people who run Days of the Dead have been amazing. They were so supportive in wanting me to come to the convention that they offered me to use their logo on my T-shirts to make them convention exclusive. It's been wonderful.
Perfect. I know Adolfo and company. They're great people. This is just Haunters Against Hate. For those of you that don't know about it, if you're listening to our show, you better know about it. But for those of you that don't know about it, Paul, let's tell them what Haunters Against Hate is.
Haunters Against Hate was formed after the Orlando Pulse killings when some very negative speech was said by a review team. And a coalition of haunts got together and we formed Haunters Against Hate to compete or battle negativity against LGBT people and other people in the haunt industry, and we keep an eye on, make sure, keep that in check and doesn't happen. And what I did was take that idea and I created T-shirts and I do art auctions, and with the funds I donate to various LGBT organizations across the United States.
Absolutely wonderful cause. It was a tragedy what happened in Orlando, and I know the comments you're talking about disgusted me, but this is a beautiful thing has sprung up from this, because this just, I mean, you think about performers, actors, come on. A lot of them are the LGBT community, whether or not they're out or not. We need to protect these people. We need to support these people and reduce the negativity towards people that aren't the same as everybody else. So what is in the future for Haunters Against Hate? I know you've been hitting most of the major haunt conventions. Are you going to be doing more Days of the Dead?
The next one I have planned, and it seems that the organizers are also very supportive, is Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yes.
Also, HauntCon has reached out to me based in New Orleans for January, so we'll see what happens there.
HauntCon, it couldn't be a better place for it. I went down there this year. I think you'll get a huge reception from the New Orleans community down there. I'm confident you will. So that's going to be exciting.
Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California is doing a special LGBT thing this summer at their haunt. And it's a little too late, but I did reach out to them, and they said they will let me know if they can squeeze me in. So, fingers crossed, we will see.
Well, let's hope that you can do that. And, again, Scarefest, great, great show to work at. Just spreading the word. You know, Big Scary Show is trying to spread the word as much as possible. And this has just exploded since you first started it.
It has. It really has. We've raised about $10,000 now in the past 2 years to give to various organizations.
Absolutely amazing. How many other charities do you know that can do that so quickly?
Yeah, the support has been amazing. It really has. I mean, we're going to get, like, I got some hate postings on Facebook the other day right before I came here, but it's par for the course. You just, instead of engaging these people, you just block them and let them go.
Right. So where can people find out more about Haunters Against Hate? Website, Facebook?
You can go to our Facebook page, Haunters Against Hate, or the website, hauntersagainsthate.com. And you can read all about the organization, how it was formed, the haunts that are part of Haunters Against Hate. I have a shop online that if you want to buy bumper stickers or pins or T-shirts, you can do it that way too.
Perfect. Paul, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me here on The Big Scary Show again. But we can't not spread this every time we get a chance. Keep doing what you're doing. It's a wonderful thing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And I'm Meat Hook Jim, and I'm going to go get food. See ya.
Broadcasting to you
from the darkest reaches of the earth. This is a Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So as haunters, you know, and the community of, you know, haunting, we've all gone on some trips with each other. So, you know, we have our fair share of bad field trips. And usually for us, it's limited to choosing a poor movie to go together as a group to, or maybe going to a restaurant and the service isn't so great, or, you know, the food is flat, or, you know, some people you think are your friends are haunters or skip out on part of the check. I could never figure that out. As much as I love haunters and haunting, you know, sometimes I just hate going out to dinner with them because you could have 10 people and the check would never work out right. Somebody always ordered an appetizer and then, you know, didn't think they needed to pay for it. You know, seemed to be the younger the haunters are, the more that happened, which was, you know, just weird. But, you know, that can be a bad outing. But anything we've ever done, any, you know, of these outings we've gone on, does not hold a candle to the worst one ever, and that's this poor Thai soccer team. These kids, think 11 kids and their coach, or 12 kids and their coach, they were missing for the past week because they went, you know, as a group field trip into some caves. Caves marked danger, don't go in, can flood very easily. Now, luckily they found them. They were missing for a week. You know, underground, in a cave system, gone. You know, haven't seen them in a week. You know, that's frightening within itself. But they did find them. You know, British divers had to find them. Problem is, they're still in the cave. You know, you might have been only catching headlines of this stuff. Yay, they found the Thai soccer team. Huzzah! No, they're still stuck underground. They've been underground since the middle of June. And they're trying to figure out how to get them out of there. And it is a perilous, you know, frightening thing. We deal with, you know, elements of darkness, water, and enclosed spaces in our haunts, and we see how that freaks out people. Can you imagine, you know, actually being in that situation, and they're, you know, it's real danger, and you're stuck there. You know, hopefully everybody keeping them in their thoughts and prayers, and hopefully that team gets out of there, you know, without any serious injuries or everything, and hopefully, you know, the rescue teams can stay safe. But, oh my goodness, worst field trip ever. So, you know, hey, next time you go out with some of the haunt friends, and you're like, that was an okay time. Remember, it's still not the worst field trip ever, and, you know, the time is only as good as you make it. So have a good time with it, and don't go looking in any caves or anything. That's, you know, let's skip that one. You know, save the caves for, you know, building your scene. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way way to collect donations for a community. Tickets under $5, the fee's only 25 cents. Find out what Ticket Leap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com. Hey, Storm here. So, this is normally where you'd be hearing the Round Table of Terror, but this week, you know, it's pretty busy, 4th of July, all the Koga hosts really got some summer plans going, and we're trying to line up some guests and stuff, and it was just real hard with the rot this week. So, I have a little replacement this week. I got the next half an hour will be a horror podcasting panel. From ScareCon New England in 2018. First and foremost, I want to thank the great people at The Dorkening for providing this audio and letting us use it on the show. Thank you, guys. They had a little bit of audio difficulties, as, you know, the challenges of most live shows. So some of the beginning and some of the intro got cut off, and I'm going to play around and see what we can do to make it sound as best as we can and make sure it's not coming in just one channel. But the panel consists of the moderator, Lee from The Dorkening. Hey, check them out, dorkening.com, I believe. They do a couple of great shows. They do a horror show on Tuesdays. We have Misty from Scream Sisters. I hope you caught her interview a couple episodes ago when I talked to her. Another great podcast. Andy from InebriArt. Hey, we've talked to him last summer. He's really good. And Melissa from Shock Treatment. So myself is also on the panel, and we'll be talking a little bit about horror podcasting, a couple questions that come out there, you know, getting started, what we do, some of the different challenges that we have, and how podcasting has, you know, affected, you know, ourselves, actually, too. There's a couple of neat questions in there, and, you know, how we've progressed and gone through it and interviewing questions and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. Hope you guys enjoy. Roundtable of Terror will be coming back very shortly. We'll have it for the next episode. As usual, if you have any ideas or guest ideas, if you'd like to request a guest for the Roundtable of Terror, please reach out to any of us at The Big Scary Show. We'll be happy to hear that. Throw it up on our Facebook page. Always looking for neat things like that. And hey, if you're part of the haunted attraction industry, you want to reach out to markets and stuff out there, Roundtable of Terror is open for sponsorship. Reach out to any of us or myself, storm@bigscaryshow.com, and you can find out how you could even sponsor the Roundtable of Terror. But hey, we love hearing from you, and we hope you enjoy this. Again, thank you to The Dorkening, who was, you know, moderating and in charge of all the podcast panels at the ScareCon New England. I think they'll also be involved with ScareCon when it's in upstate New York in this fall. So, hey, if you like these recorded panels too, let us know. We'll look to do more of them and work with our cooperative shows that we work with. And we got a lot of good shows coming up this year, a lot of good conventions that we'll be covering too. So, hey, keep us in the know and sit back and enjoy.
Interviewing people like by accident. So this woman, we have like one of those electric fences that keeps our dog in the yard, and during one of the storms a tree fell over and broke the line, so the woman's there repairing it, and I'm kind of standing over her shoulder. I'm like, well, how long have you been doing this? Where are you from? And what is this? And what's that? And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm sorry, am I interviewing you?
It just kind of falls into habit when you start getting used to it.
How about you, Matt? What do you do for promotion for your show?
It's definitely a lot of Facebook, a lot of it. Yeah. Twitter, you're trying to post in there, but you got to have something that's consistent. Definitely, you can go on the Skype, but the Skype and Zoom actually cut you off after a certain amount of time, yeah, unless you get the pro version of them. But I work in local radio as well, so there's a lot of FaceTime, you know, sitting down with people, talking to people, going out to meetings, and definitely at different events, you know, promoting it, getting the idea out there. What about sponsorship? Do any folks have sponsorships? I know, Leo, you've got...
Yeah.
Brown's coffee.
Yep. With that, we absolutely love their coffee, and I spend a ton of money on his coffee, but you know,
we had a sample already this morning.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I haven't hit him yet, up yet. So yeah, I'm without my coffee. So I'm a little low here. Yeah. What about you guys?
We've been getting sponsors for about a year now, and we kind of do it as a, where we're a fairly new podcast. We do it kind of in trade. We run a lot of events locally in Plymouth, and our sponsor this month, I'll plug them since I can, is myarttools.com, and they sent us 60 sketchbooks.
Nice.
And we use those sketchbooks to bring people into our figure drawing events and other events and promote. We have a daily drawing challenge on our Facebook page, stuff like that. And so we use their product to kind of drive attendance to that stuff.
How about you, Star?
We've been fortunate, even with some of our contacts, with being in podcasting before we start our own podcast, and the four of us being very involved in the haunted attraction industry, we actually had one or two sponsors before we ever aired a show, which was really cool. But we do have some in-kind trade sponsors. You know, we'll have some who will give stuff, you know, props or makeup kits away that we'll give away each month. So every two shows we'll have that. And then we have usually work out a deal with the company that's doing our website design and, you know, do some in-kind for that. But we do have cash sponsors.
Very cool.
It's, you know, we're focused as a haunted attraction industry one. So that is that little unique aspect that, you know, we'll have those sponsors for that. We're not having haunted attractions advertised with us. We're having the people do the lighting for them or who do certain props. And it mixes out. Some are hit or miss. And then, you know, we'll change them out during the year and look for new ones. But it's keeping a balance with it. I have a whole complex formula to try and keep it to 9 to 7% of the show is advertising. And then, you know, fill in the rest and rate cards and stuff. But that's because I got a marketing degree and have worked in media, so I drive my other co-hosts nuts with that. And then they go to a show and sell stuff that's not on the rate card. I'm like, what are you doing? No! I actually added one thing. Shit that they is not on the rate card that you'll sell anyway. $60.
How about you, Misty? Do you have sponsors for your podcast?
No, I don't.
It's definitely one of the tough things to get. What about you?
Well, we actually have a few. I'm out of Rhode Island, so we have a place called Dark's Barbecue. It's on Bayer Street. They're one of our sponsors, and we have two different breweries that sponsor us, Proclamation and Buttonwoods. So they're very helpful. You know, they get free advertising, and they help us out by sponsoring us. So
do you actually go out to that location instead of the location?
Yeah, we just did a fundraiser called F-Bomb Friday, and you know, everybody, for whatever you donated, you could say the F-bomb as much as you wanted. We said F the FCC and had a field day with this. And we actually did the fundraiser from the brewery, and Dirk's Barbecue came in, and they had, like, a nice little spread for everybody that was there. So everybody's very involved with getting the word out for not just my show, but every show that is aired.
So do you guys typically run family-friendly, or do you have explicit labels on your podcast?
We're pretty much family-friendly. You know, every now and then there's going to be a swear that slips. As long as it's not the F-bomb, we're good. If you drop the F-bomb, you have to donate $2 for every time you say it.
We have a swear jar?
We have a swear jar. Whatever money is raised in the swear jar, whatever the next charity event is that we do, the money that goes in that jar gets put towards the donations.
I'd have to get a part-time job.
Me too. Maybe another full-time job.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a good question. What issues have you guys have had for on-site interviews or broadcasts? How many do you do a year? You know, it's what technical issues do you have?
We try to do them frequently because I find that's one of the best way to get listeners. You go where they are.
Yeah.
We do a lot of local events in Plymouth. We do stuff like this. We did Super Mega Fest. Recently, we went up to Somerville to record a band.
Woohoo!
Is that where you're from?
Oh, nice. Thunder Road, I think, is the name of the place.
I know where that is.
Yeah. And there was a band there, and their PR person reached out and said, we go interview them. I'm like, yeah, of course. days before we were set to record, my producer ended up in the ICU.
Oh.
And so he was kind of, he was in rough shape, but he wasn't dying. And it was more precautionary. So I'm like, well, I gotta go. So I went up, and I'm not really that technical savvy person. I can run the equipment just enough. And so I set up the equipment. We're interviewing the band, and their opening act came on. And they couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear them. We got about 20, 25 minutes of what I'd hoped to be like a 45 to an hour podcast. And then had to be like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll call it. And I broke down all the equipment. They started having dinner. And then it was only the opening band sound check.
Oh,
and
no.
So I ended up just kind of shooting the shit with these guys and having really great content that will never be heard.
Oh.
But they're really nice. And they're like, oh, next time we come around, we'll record again. So, I mean, it's going to happen, but,
yeah.
You know.
How about you, Storm?
The four of us that do the show are across the country. At one point, it was one in Vegas, one in Cincinnati, one in Charlotte, and then me up here in New England. We now have two in Ohio, one of them moved. So, you know, for us to be in the same room at the same time doesn't happen too often. It's actually been a couple years. Usually it'd be a convention or so that we'd do that, and, you know, we'd record our roundtable for it. We put together our podcast with a bunch of different segments, and then we have this, like, 45-minute roundtable where we'll bring in a long format guest or just talk about something in the industry or something horror-related for that time. We even do one thing when we're really out of ideas. They say, Storm, make up the 13 questions of doom. And I just go, you know, McLaughlin group on it. And, you know, we have these stupid questions. I did one clowning around. It's like 13 questions about clowns or something ridiculous. And then I tell them if they're right or wrong and give, you know, points based off of it. So you can have a little fun with the different stuff that you do just to keep it lively. But that's how we combat not being in the same room. We piece it together. Each of us have a little job with the podcast, and that way we're not overwhelmed when it comes time to do a show. You know, let's do your piece, get it in, use the folders, and build from that. But we've had audio issues. We've had, you know, phones cutting out. We've had issues on show floors and stuff. I have a Tascam I've used for years. As a matter of fact, last year I'd record, sounded great in the headphones when I'm recording, and then I go and play it back, and there was like a little buzz in the background. It just wasn't as good as it used to be. And you do a couple Google searches and found out, oh, you know, I haven't updated the firmware in 4 years on this.
Oh,
huge difference. Fixed everything.
I have not done that one with mine.
Yep.
Very, very important. Update. Every 6 months.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't update mine.
It's just little stuff like that you don't think of, and it's, you know, trial and error, and then you figure it out, and then, you know, just upgrade here and there, but you don't have to go crazy and buy a gazillion-dollar thing right off, because you can have just as many problems with that as a $50 recorder or a $10 microphone from Best Buy. So
I bought a $50 one, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You inspired me, by the way, on that.
What about you, Missy? You said, what do you use for a recorder?
I use a MP3 recorder.
Okay.
I just did some reviews on Amazon, just read a couple of them, found a nice little one and used that. And I used it for the first time at Rock and Shop, and it worked great.
Nice.
It stuck right into my computer, downloaded the information, and boom, it was ready in like 10 minutes. It works really well.
Very cool. Melissa, for on-site.
On-site, the biggest issue we've had, because being an internet show, is making sure that wherever we are has a strong enough internet signal. Because otherwise, it just keeps cutting out, and we have to, you know, finagle things, we're using our hotspots on our phones to make sure we get a strong enough signal to get the show on.
Going out in advance, checking out first.
We had a big issue when we covered Buffalo Films Film Festival. And, you know, he wanted us to stream all weekend. And, you know, we set up to do that and get there. And the connection was absolutely horrible.
Oh, jeez.
So, we ended up recording all the panels and then putting up for the podcast network we were on at the time. So sometimes you just need to make do and not do live. Yeah.
Well, there's another thing, too, with podcasts. What direction are they going? It seems like there's a lot more podcast networks popping up, and some are successful. Some are, a good show for 3 months, and then, I can't even find that website now.
Yeah. Well, podcasts in general are, I know they're definitely taking an uptick. You're getting a lot of corporations trying to get into them because, what's the term? Voice search or something like that. There's some new Google algorithm. But, with networks, it's expensive to set up. Mm-hmm. We started ours because, we were producing a lot of content. And the way the network we were on was handling it, we just wanted to go a different route. They were great guys, absolutely loved them, but they were putting all the shows under one. So it's like that network, and then you subscribe to that network, and then all the shows are under it. So he had like 7-8 shows. You're getting eight shows dumped into your feed. Where us, every show on our network is a totally separate feed. It's a little pricey. That's why we got Deadly Grounds as a sponsor, mm-hmm. but it definitely helps out. But it is expensive to set it up. But now all our content we're controlled. All our different shows are totally separate feeds and under their own.
Excuse me.
No, that was a laugh first.
I haven't finished my coffee. I left it at the table.
So in terms of going mobile, do you guys have a mobile recorder? Like Leo, you mentioned a Tascam. Does anybody have like a mobile recorder? Do you have a Zoom? Do you have a Rode Lav? Like, what do you?
I have a. Again, I'm not the producer kind of guy, so we have one. I don't know what brand it is. We've had some success with it, but we really don't use it much. When we do stuff, we tend to bring people to our table to record instead of, kind of just stopping them in the middle of an aisle or
mine is so
at their
tiny,
table.
It's at the back of my pants. It's so cute.
Yeah,
so
it works
for Yeah. We haven't.
Just stop, record, play.
We haven't done the live shows yet. We're toying with it with some of the, we're getting more tables and we're getting more of, especially the haunted attraction industry conventions, wanting us to be the major media coverage for it and asking us for help, even with conventions, which is really neat. We have been working with a couple of big conventions in the industry, and one is HauntCon down in New Orleans. And they actually have changed some ownership to have some different people running it. And they were phenomenal this year. They really built the show, adding on to things. But we actually had a group phone call conversation with some of the people from their team to talk about, hey, what can we do with the haunt industry? You guys know it. How can we connect better? What can we do better with media and stuff? And this is awesome, like hour and a half conversation to come up with ideas and then more cross-promotion, things we can work with them in the coming year for next January show. Which is really neat. So we'll probably build up to do some live shows. Yeah. The guy who produces it out in Cincinnati, he might be more to it. But we've all been Zooms or Tascams or the little Sony recorders. I think every once in a while, if we're stuck, we'll record it on our phone and then, mix it and drop it into the show later on. So it's what you work with. But, I did the Tascam. The Phantom Power on it was a big thing. I go, I might need extra mics. Okay. If we want to record something like this, this thing can hook up a couple microphones and go from it. And, again, a lot of good reviews. And, within the price point, I'll spend it's like $200 at the time or something and got a case and everything for it. And it just worked out.
Yeah, that's what we're recording this on right now is the Tascam. I got it as an Amazon sale. I think I paid like $100 for mine when I got it. It was a crazy sale. But as you heard me earlier, it's defective. So that's probably why it was on sale. It's the power button doesn't, you got to play with it in order to get it turned on. But in order to get ready for this con here, since we're helping out, we wanted to record both panel rooms, so we had to get some new equipment. Mm-hmm. So right now, when we come to cons, I bring my big old computer you saw up there, and we got to lug a ton of equipment in, set up the mixer and everything. Kevin just upgraded to is the Zoom H6?
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. It's like a mini mixer, and then the camera we have is specifically for live streaming. So I think going in the future, that whole table full of equipment, I can just convert down to, you know, just like a small like box full of stuff. And I can see us doing a lot more live streams, you know, doing that way. But it's just the equipment is just crazy. It's shrink everything down.
That's one of the things that I really like have enjoyed about podcasting is initially it was a $60 investment in a microphone. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of be like, yeah, I really enjoyed this and let's upgrade. And then you upgrade more. And then you know, you don't, we still have the $60 microphone. We don't ever use it, but why would I get rid of it?
Exactly.
And you have a backup
right.
when you need it.
Exactly. And so you end up with, you know, multiple, you know, mobile recorders and multiple microphones and all sorts of stuff. And it's just been so much fun to do.
We've even gone a little bit of a silly route, and it's worked better, you know, for live streaming stuff with the live Facebook streams and stuff. I found this goofy thing. These are $15. It's a microphone. It plugs into it. So we'll do live streams on our Facebook.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we each got one. Yeah. You know, I found it at Sam's Club for like $10. Yeah. I'm like, if this thing doesn't even work, it just looks cool. But it's neat because it shows the microphone with it. And, oh, goodness, on a show floor, people are like, what the hell is that thing? And they'll come up and talk to you and get some attention. But
$10, $15.
Yes.
And how does is it okay?
Like, it's decent, yeah. It plugs in, it records sound. I think one of the two or the other guys complain about it, but they're musicians and audio
freaks
too. I've never had a problem with it. Yeah. And even if it doesn't, it still records from your phone. And it's pretty neat and good for those quick little things for it.
That's funny.
It is. It is. It's a little $10 one. They thought it, Storm, you're, you know, crazy Storm, goofy. When I first did, I do a couple live streams. Now each of us went out and bought
one. Oh, that's awesome.
That's great. I like that.
No, sitting down in these podcast discussions and panels and stuff is don't be afraid of using what you have.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and spend $1,000 or $2,000. You can if you want to, but you definitely don't have to. Go ahead and use what you have and then go from there. And Murphy's Law, something's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Just don't be afraid to practice. Practice, rehearse, and keep going. And keep doing it.
And also, that's a lot of the fun, is trying to figure out, you know, what the issues are and then, you know, try to fix them going forward. You know, try to find out where your pain points are. You know, if you're getting a crackling, what do you do to fix it and whatnot?
Yeah, I used to lug my computer and have to set up the computer and everything. Yep. It was a pain in the ass. And it's like the actress would just sit there like looking at me like, okay, is she done? It's like then this thing is a miracle.
Yeah.
It's great.
And don't be afraid to try new stuff too, especially with interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things I love, you know, you have the celebrities and stuff, and they're hard to interview at the table and stuff. They're busy. They're here doing, this is their job. This is how a lot of them are making money and stuff. And sometimes we'll connect with them at other times. Sometimes we'll end up on the same circuit. So like a lot of people here today, we already interviewed when they're down in Charlotte and that type of thing. I love interviewing vendors and the people here. And you get these great stories. I mean, one of my favorites, I think they're here, is Forest Haunt. And, you know, this lady, she spilt some bleach on a shirt and it came out a neat design. Now she makes these incredible shirts and hats and stuff using bleach. But it's this neat story. And sometimes you'll pry some of the shyness out of the vendors, too. And you'll find out, okay, what inspired you to start making these little collages using like animal skulls and stuff? And you get this great neat backstory and you find out some neat things, and then, you know, you're interested in it, your audience is, and this becomes something they'll look up and you, hey, plug your thing, and, you know, you develop a good relationship. And then they're the funnest ones to follow on Facebook too. Yeah. I love following some of the vendors and people you meet at these shows on Facebook. They get your jokes too. We've even had some interviews. We thought, oh, man, this is going to be an awful 30 minutes. And you get the person rolling on what they're talking about. We're like, oh, my God, we got to have you on again. This is one of our best shows ever. Yeah.
That's what happened with me on Tuesday when I interviewed JV. I wasn't expecting him to be a talker. And so I told him, you know, I hate to cut this short, but, you know, we have to wrap this up, and I'd love to have you on another show and, you know, just – do it again and, you know, make the show know that when I go into interviewing JV again that I need an hour, not a half.
We, when we started, we did the easiest thing. We brought in friends. And one of the, I think like episode 4, I brought in an artist. His name's Daniel Kern. And so we had our crappy $60 mic. And Dan talks like right about here. And he's really soft-spoken. It couldn't hear a damn thing he said. So, of course, when we upgraded the system, we're like, we've got to have you back. And so now it's about 40 minutes in, and he starts talking about how he has sleep paralysis and is it sleep terrors? And it was
night terrors.
That's what. Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating. And my producer's like, you know, tapping his watch, being like, "It's time." I'm like, "I'm not stopping. There is no way I'm stopping this fantastic
like
story."
I'm totally into this right yeah. now. Let him.
He's
finish.
Talking about like stories about that inspires art, where like mm-hmm. there's something sitting on his bed and he can feel it, and there's like these shadows.
Old hag syndrome.
And it's like, yeah, and I'm like scaring the shit out of me. I'm like, "This is amazing. There's no way I'm not gonna follow up with this." So sometimes you just gotta keep going, even though your mm-hmm. time's up.
So. You said you do your interviews about 30 minutes, and what were your times again?
Mine's like 45 minutes to an hour, depends.
Yeah.
2 hours, because we'll break stuff up. We went into it with a plan. We steal a lot from radio, too. You know, it's worked for 100 years. Use it yourself for podcasting. So we'll start off our shows. One of the things we'll record is everybody will be on the show. We'll have them do a shout-out, and this is, "Hey, I'm so-and-so from What's Up, What's It, and you're listening to Big Scary Show." And we'll add that to our beginning and our intro thing. Each of us will take a turn doing it just to introduce the show, what's going to be on, little BS segment. Then we'll do a news segment for the haunt attraction industry. We'll have a couple songs mixed in. One or two of us will do a different segment. I do like a, you know, the old Hollywood Minute on Saturday Night Live type of rant thing about the haunt attraction industry. And I'll just find something ridiculous, compare it, and go off on an insane rant about it for 2 minutes called the Haunt Minute, which, again, has never lasted a minute. It's always two or three. Then we'll have a roundtable, which can be half an hour and usually ends up being more like an hour, to the point where we've split it up in two parts and have a little commercial break. A couple other things into it. So our show gets close to the two-hour mark more than not.
Yeah. What about you, Misty?
What was the question?
How long are your interviews normally?
Interviews? Usually about 15 minutes.
Okay. Ours are, we do our, say for like our Tuesday show, you know, we normally have them on for an hour. But we also bring them on about an hour early and record another interview with Wolfman. So he has a separate show, and it's just, you know, he calls it Sit Down. It's just a one-on-one with him and the guest. So I record that for him. And a lot of times when I tell them, well, we're going to be connected for 2 hours, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, a little antsy about it. But, you know, once they get into the group, they're having a lot of fun, and it works out.
We get that a lot, too, where people will be like, well, how long is it? And you're like, it's about 45 minutes to an hour. And like, oh, my God, I can't talk that long. And then when it's in the day, they're like, oh, wow, really? Already? It's over?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It depends on the interview setup, too, because most of my interviews are at conventions.
Yep.
So they don't really want to talk that long.
Oh, exactly.
But if I do a Skype interview with them, it's longer. Like, I did an interview with Doug Bradley. Yeah. And that was a Skype interview, and I got him for about 45 minutes.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a diva?
I got a horror story about that.
Okay. Well, it's a horror convention.
Kevin tells the story all the time. But so we were just starting out. Well, we were about a year into it. And we had this one director on, and it was a good show, and we wanted to promote his movie a little more, so we set up a second interview to have him on another actor and an actress. So the actress didn't have any means to come on the show, so I purchased a camera for her, sent it to her, and said, well, when you're done with it, send it back, mm-hmm. and then I'll give it to one of the other guys on the show. Well, the director, I guess he was on some forum and somebody made a comment negative about his movie, and he got all like freaked out about it, canceled on the show, but said, hey, the actress will be on, and the actor. And then slowly everybody dropped off the show, and they never returned to camera.
Nice. We interview a lot of musicians, and friends of mine were like, you got to get this band, you got to get this band. They're like, the biggest band on Cape Cod. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Scheduled it. It was like a total pain in the ass getting them there. They finally get there, and we go through the whole interview. It was great. It was a lot of fun. They played some music. And like 2 days later, I get a message. You can't use that.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? They're like, if you put that up, we will not promote it. We will tell people actively not to listen to it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, we said some things we shouldn't. I'm like, there's a microphone right in front of you. What are you thinking? And so they're like, we'd like to reschedule. And then I think I rescheduled, and they ended up canceling, or like one of the band members would come. I'm like, well, we'll reschedule. And I just never contacted them again.
What about you, Storm?
I don't think we've had any crash and burns. You know, we've had, you know, floor interviews can get cut short, especially if there's a line. We've, yeah. you know, had people decline interviews like, you know, it's at first you got to get used to that and stuff too. But people are busy, got stuff, and, ooh, podcast, don't know what it is, never heard of you guys. Well, you know, it's almost like blogs. There's almost, you know, what was it? One point they said for every blog, there's one person who's reading it. So, like, blogs are one for one. And almost podcasts, it seems like that much. There's probably so many out there that, it, you know, you barely get time to listen to your own sometimes, yeah. especially if you like other ones. But, you know, with us being very industry-related, there's a haunt attraction industry. It's a lot of artists, so you deal with a lot of egos. One of the best parts is that we have four co-hosts on there. And usually at least three of us are involved with the longer interviews. Sometimes one or two of us are at conventions. So even if something's starting to crash and burn, one of the other ones will find something to help pull it along, ask that question that might turn a little direction, or we just let them go off on their own and, all right, we're only doing 20 minutes with you today, that type of thing. But fortunately, I don't think we've had one completely crash and burn on us. We've had some interesting bands, and we try and do the family friendly, and we've been to some of the rockabilly shows and interviewing some of your more macabre like bands, and yeah, F-bombs every couple of minutes, and we'll just let that one go, but wow. Yeah. So it's, you know, sometimes you expect it, and we just let it go, but it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah. How about you, Misty?
Well, I have my story where I almost had an interview with Malcolm McDowell. And I asked Malcolm McDowell, and he's like, oh, I would be glad to. I can't do his accent. Sorry. And I came back to do the interview, and his agent's like, oh, Malcolm doesn't know what he does all day. So that was my story where I almost got an interview with him. Yeah. That was – it's not really a diva story, but
– yeah. Well, so it's definitely something that we face because a lot of times, you know, an actor will give you an okay. And then as soon as their agent steps in, it's like, nope, you know, it's happened to us tons of times. You know, how about mm-hmm. you, Melissa?
I haven't really had any issues with that yet. So far, all the guests that I've had on my show are all friends. My friend Billy does special effects, so I had him on as a guest. I had JV on as a guest because him and I have become friends, so that, you know, it helped to promote this. I've got a couple other shows lined up. We do promoting through articles I write for the station, so I really haven't had a diva issue yet. I'm sure that it's about to happen at some point, but I haven't had one yet.
Yeah. So I know they're going to be filming a movie here, so I think we have just a little bit more time. Any questions from the audience?
One question, if I could just...
Sure.
What bit of advice would you have to an aspiring podcaster starting out?
I'd say have a loose plan. You know, don't just say, oh, I'm going to jump in and talk about stuff. You know, have a little structure. Figure out what you like about that you want to get into. And, you know, listen to see what's out there. Not listen to copy what other people are doing or to really push on that. Find your own identity, but find what works with it. And stick with it. You're going to have tough times and be like, why the hell am I doing this? Oh, look, I had 6 downloads today. Woo, and 3 of them were from Russia. Yay. You know, you stick with it and you change some things up. And then, you know, that 6 becomes hundreds and then you get up to thousands and you go with it. But, you know, it's don't overextend yourself. Don't promise and not deliver. But it can be fun. It can be rewarding. You get to meet awesome people. You get to go to these shows and have just a different aspect of it than just attending one of these. You know, you're attending, you're committed, you're doing stuff, you're helping promote them, you're building neat relationships. So it's more than a hobby. You know, I was talking with people at work, and it's funny with the haunt attraction industry. Oh, you do the Halloween stuff all year. Ooh, this. Well, yeah, you know, the 10 years I was working at a hayride, I'm haunting for Christmas. You know, here I am doing a hobby I love, spending a lot of time, especially during the summer building in October. But, you know, I get a little return on that. And usually it's a paycheck and pay for a lot of Christmas stuff. And then they'll go off and talk about, you know, spending a couple $100 a month for a golf club membership. And, hey, that's great. That's your hobby you like to do. You know, you're invested in it. That's the same thing with podcasting or with haunt attraction or even with sports and stuff. If that's what you like, go with it. Build with it. It can be as rewarding as you want it to be.
Make sure you have the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, it is to find the niche that you like. Try to find a unique angle, because there's got to be one out there already. Try to and be genuine to yourself, and set a schedule to stick to it. Be consistent, mm-hmm. and those are kind of like the key points. Just be yourself and stay on schedule.
Yeah. How about you, Misty?
I already said my piece.
Oh, you did. Okay. I need my coffee.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna go get my coffee.
We're going to hit deadly ground soon. I mean, for us, you know, I think you guys touched on it. You got to have fun with it. You know, it's...
If you don't have fun with it, there's kind of really no point to do it.
Exactly. Right. Don't go into it thinking you're going to make a ton of money.
Don't go into it thinking you're making money.
You're going to lose money. You know?
Yeah, you lose money.
But, I mean, I love talking to these guys every week, and I love, you know... playing around with the technology, trying to figure out, you know, better ways to improve. And that's what I love about it. I love, you know, managing the back end, you know, dealing with a lot of the guests and everything. You know, the Tuesday show, I just, you know, moderate the discussion. The guys do all the talking. But it's just, you know, I just love that management aspect of it. And it's just having fun.
I think when you love it, that comes through.
Yeah.
That the listeners can tell that you're not just phoning it in. And,
yeah.
I love how I can actually... will myself to, I mean, with no problems whatsoever, go up to a celebrity and be like, hi, can I interview you? And I'm like, not nervous or anything.
Matt, any advice?
No, like I said, the same thing. don't be afraid to jump in. Don't be afraid. Definitely be unique. Have fun with it. You're not going to get rich off yep. of it, everything. But just enjoy it. Don't hesitate. Wait. Just go ahead. Ask your friends, your friends, family, anybody that can come on board. Just have fun with it. Go ahead and enjoy. One question I have for the whole panel is, can you go ahead and give your name to the podcast again?
Yeah.
And wrapping things up, just so we know where to find you guys.
Sure. Scream Sisters, we're on Facebook, and we're on iTunes.
I'm Andy of the Inebriate Art Podcast, and we're on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, pretty much everywhere.
BigScaryShow.com, and you know, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, that type of thing too. We do a show every 2 weeks for a Big Scary Show, and then the weeks we're not doing a show, we do Big Scary News, which is about 1 15-minute interview and some haunted attraction news industry segments.
My name's Melissa. My show is Shock Treatment. You can find us on 990WBOB.com. We have an Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, so we're easily found.
So we have the Dorkening Podcast Network. We do 3 shows, and then we just added 2 other podcasts, Secret Underground Hideout, which is twice a month. And then there's a series, Apocalypse Now, with a question mark. We're adding them to our roster as well. Our Sunday Dorkening Show, and then Tuesday is the Wicked Horror Show, and video games on Thursday. So, it's a packed house.
They have every base covered.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us today. I want to thank the people in the room here as well. And make sure you check these guys out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. You're dead, friend. You're blocking the movie.
They say Ezra Cobb was a nice enough fella. Kinda quiet, hardworking, good neighbor, devoted son. Just about the last person in the world you'd suspect of being deranged. Deranged, the story of Ezra Cobb, grave robber, psychopath, and homicidal maniac. He was trapped in his mother's web of evil, twisted by his own demented fears, so obsessed with death itself that he became deranged. He carved a trail of butchery so brutal that newspapers refused to print its gruesome details. Deranged, a nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Deranged. Rated R. Under 17. Not admitted without parent.
Graveyard Boulevard. Meet me at the grave on the Big Scary Show.
Hey everyone, this is the Haunchmentalist Jerry Vane, and I'm here at Days of the Dead Indianapolis with author David Jobe. David, how are you doing this weekend?
Doing good. It's fun.
Now, I walked by your booth earlier, and your books caught my attention. You've got a trilogy of books called the Superhero Trilogy, correct?
Uh-huh, right.
Tell us about the books.
Okay, the idea is that superhero powers start showing up in Indianapolis just at random. No one knows why. And that the concept behind it is that normal people get these powers, don't respond in the way you see in superhero movies. Like, for instance, is one guy ends up having a shield, but he doesn't know what it can stop. And so he has to test it, but he has to test it in a way that doesn't hurt him. So it's about finding out about their powers and then trying to use them. Some will obviously use them for bad, but then there's those who try and use them for good. And it starts to escalate as more and more people show up and the rest of the world starts watching and seeing what's going on, and then like the government starts to get involved, that kind of thing.
Okay. So the storyline takes place here in Indianapolis?
Yeah. It ranks out a little bit because of how things move around, but every major piece happens in Indianapolis.
Okay. When did you start writing this trilogy?
I started it 10 years ago. It was kind of a spoof to get through the workday. I asked coworkers to give me a superpower and a social dysfunction. and then just to pass time between phone calls, I would create their character for them and make them do things. After about a year, I realized I had quite a lot of material, which is funny because I ended up scrapping most of it, but kept the idea that here you have these people with superpowers, but at the same time, they have something they have to fight that makes the superpowers worse than better, and so it just kind of evolved from there.
Okay. Now, the trilogy, what is, it's an ongoing storyline, sure. So what, for people who are interested in the trilogy, what is each of the books pertaining to?
The first one is the initial outbreak, and you're introduced to basically what is the core set of the characters, and they have a confrontation at the end, and it kind of, the way I built it was the same way that Star Wars was built, where the first one can be its own standalone. The third one builds up for the finale of the third one. The second one builds up for the finale of the third one. So the first one goes into who they are, what they're doing. The second one, the stakes start getting bigger. It stops just affecting them, but they start seeing how it affects those around them, the broken families. And then the third one is, if they don't do something, that it goes to hell.
Well, you had me with the Star Wars trilogy tie-in, so yeah. I can work with that one. Now, is there any plans for like a graphic novel or anything like that?
I can't draw, but yeah, but I'm trying to find someone who will do an audiobook. That's where I'm at next. But if someone wanted to pick it up and do it, I would totally work with them because I like the idea. I mean, again, it's based off a comic idea, so seeing it in comic format would be really cool. I mean, I'm open, but I don't have anybody that'll do it for me. Right
with now. All the independent companies out, you never know.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, for people who are interested in what you're talking about, want to check out your books, where can they find it?
It's actually on Amazon. You can get it as a regular book or an ebook.
Okay, and do you have a website, Facebook presence?
I do have a Facebook presence. It's actually called The Broken Ones, because I, when I built it, I didn't know the second and third one were going to happen. And then I have a WordPress, which is LazarusJobWordPress.com, which I'm trying to get it updated, but I have a problem with doing blogs because I don't think anybody cares what my opinion on a movie is. So I just kind of like, here's my new book, enjoy my stories. Yeah, exactly.
It's out next. I got one like, yeah! Yeah!
Exactly. That's pretty much the way it goes.
Okay, so and that's David Jobe, J-O-B-E.
Uh-huh.
All right, David, thank you for taking time talking to the Big Scary Show. Good luck with your books. I've got a copy, so I'm looking forward to reading it, and I'll definitely be picking up the others.
Yeah.
Once again, thank you for your time.
No problem.
And this is The Haunt Rocker, and I am out.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome. Watch out. Don't trip over that torso. It's time for Between the Corpses.
All right, Haunters, Meat Hook Jim here. On this episode of Between the Corpses, I'm going to talk about Days of the Dead Indianapolis, the latest horror convention that myself and the Lady of Darkness, as well as the Haunstrumentalist and the Spirit Seer, went to just recently in Indy at the Wyndham Hotel. What a good show. It's always fun to go see Days of the Dead. Adolfo and crew always put on a great show with a fantastic lineup. It's crowded, but you still have a chance to talk to some people. And we saw quite the lineup this time around. Myself and the Lady of Darkness were fortunate enough to meet Elvira, Cassandra Peterson, not in makeup, but it's okay. And we got a photograph with her, and Lady of Darkness has just idolized her for as long as I've known her, and that's a long time. Of course, Gene Simmons was there. The Haunstrumentalist has had the opportunity to meet him in the past. He got the chance to talk to Vinnie Vincent from Kiss while we were there. That was kind of on his bucket list, I think, and he even gave Vinnie Vincent one of his CDs, I think, Black Moon Asylum. So that was a thrill. Boba Fett, Medusa from the old WCW, also known as Alundra Blaze. A couple of guys from my team, Maul, got to meet Alan Oppenheimer, Skeletor,
And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, "Yeah, get out of here, you boobs." And something else, which I can't air because this, we try to keep this show PG-13. One thing that was really cool for me is myself and Mikey Four Eyes got our pictures with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, the Outsiders from the NWO. That was, you know, the faction back in the late 90s, and being a pro wrestling fan, that was kind of a thrill. We saw some people we've seen before, you know, Sid Haig, Bill Moseley. Who else was there that we've seen? I'm drawing a blank. Click, 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 click. Boom. There goes... No. No Russian roulette here. A lot of people... Oh, Heather Langenkamp from Nightmare on Elm Street. We saw John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. Just a really great lineup. Adolfo always goes above and beyond to get some of the best into his shows. And we're looking forward to his next shows. I believe the next show is going to be in Chicago in November. I'm hoping to maybe make that. I don't know yet. And then, of course, Badger goes to Days of the Dead Atlanta and Days of the Dead Charlotte. Just... if you ever get the opportunity, if you're close enough to go to one of these horror conventions, you know, try. Really, it's... and horror and pro wrestling, I've said it before, they kind of work their ways into one another somehow, and I know Adolfo's a big wrestling fan, so he brings in some of those pro wrestling names that you want to meet and greet. I know he's had Ric Flair in the past. Brutus Beefcake is another one, and Buff Bagwell, Scott Steiner. Some old names, but familiar names. But it's always been primarily horror. Kate Featherstone from Paranormal Activity. We saw the local Ghostbusters chapter with the portrait of Viggo, the Carpathian, if you remember your Ghostbusters 2. And then there's the vendors. And man, is there just a lineup of stuff you don't find anyplace else. You know, I found obscure horror movies, comic books, anything a horror fan could want, you're going to find there, from artwork to authors to clothing. I think I've even, one of the ones I went to, I got the Lady of Darkness an eyeball purse. It's just a really cool con. Go on Sunday, it's a little bit lighter, but if you can't, Saturday, while busy, is still a fun time. So that's it for this time on Between the Corpses. Hopefully we'll bring you information on the latest and greatest with Days of the Dead and any other horror cons we go to. We've got a couple coming up here before season starts. So stay spooky.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Okay, take two. All right, Haunters, Meat Hook Jim here, Big Scary Show, live, Days of the Dead, Indianapolis, 2018. Show floor is absolutely buzzing. I'm in the vendor area, and I come across a booth that says Halloween Jeans, and oddly enough, I'm talking to Jean, who has a guide to music and horror, and I'm going to let you tell her a little bit about what she does. Jean?
Hi, everyone. My name is Halloween Jean, And what I do is bring unusual events and inside information about haunted houses so people can see what they're not seeing. We have a lot of unusual horror events in the city. I love to showcase them. I love to show on the haunt end what exactly goes into it, like the creativeness, the making of props, you know, the business end, just so people can understand exactly what they're contributing to, because I think that helps a lot in regards to just wanting to be there more. I mean, haunted houses are a lot of fun to begin with, and they make people very excited, but I think there's also more of a connection sometimes when they see how hard the actors work or the owners, what they go through to put on that type of show. So we do that, and I do a lot of behind the scenes of a few different haunted houses, and I have videos on my website. I do a lot of concerts in the area. I showcase a lot of musicians that are very creative, and I like to join a lot of artists together. So I showcase artists. Right now we have Arcane Concepts on my table here. He is a mask maker. He has some beautiful stuff that he works very hard on. And I just like to bring people to the forefront and give them attention from where they normally wouldn't get it.
Now, when we were talking a little while ago, you mentioned John LaFlamboy, and I'm going to name drop here because we know John.
Yes.
So do you do some behind-the-scenes stuff for some of the Zombie Army stuff?
I have, yes. John's been very awesome to me, and he let me go behind the scenes at Statesville. And you can see that video on my website, too. So it was a nerd-out moment for me. Probably one of the best things of this adventure. But, yeah, he's been very generous with that, and I appreciate that, too. And the video is awesome. You know, he took us out, and we had the full run of the house. So I interviewed actors and, you know, costumes, and we seen the reptiles. And we even got to sneak peek when he riles his troop up for the night. That was amazing. That was very amazing.
And this is all on your website?
It is. Yes, that is correct.
And what website would that be so people can look it up?
It's HalloweenJeans.com.
Simple enough and straightforward. Do you have Facebook presence, Twitter, anything like that?
I have Facebook, Twitter. You can look me up at Halloween Jeans. Facebook is Haunted Emporium. And I have an Instagram, too. That's Halloween Jean.
Okay.
Yes.
So you do, you know, we do the audio part. You doing the video part of what's going on here, letting people know what's going on. So it's a good combination. Listen to the Big Scary Show. Go to HalloweenJeans.com, and you're going to hear and see behind-the-scenes stuff in the haunted attraction industry.
That is correct, yes. So you get eye candy and ear candy at the same time.
Perfect. I couldn't have put it better myself, Gene. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with me here on the Big Scary Show, Days of the Dead. I hope the rest of the show goes well for you. I don't see why it shouldn't.
Thank you very much, Jim. This has been an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I'm going to go see who else I can talk to. Bye. Great.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Veister's Haunted Vista. And here we are on the backside of the July 4th holiday. It landed on a Wednesday of all the things. And you know what that means, don't you?
Does anyone have any orange slices?
Okay, maybe not that, but you know there's going to be some mega partying. Fireworks going off in your backyard, whether you like it or not.
Let's get cleaned up. Find a drink before the bars close.
Oh yeah, and of course, plenty of that going on too.
Death. Death! Death to all who oppose us!
It's called taking your party animal ethic just a little too far, wouldn't you agree? Never mind. Anyway, this time on the Vista, I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path and revisit a subject I touched on a couple of years ago, i.e. the king of the monsters himself, Godzilla. Since my review of Shin Godzilla about 18 months ago, a lot has gone down in both Toho, Legendary, and the kaiju world in general, most notably the successful release of Pacific Rim Uprising. While not the greatest giant monster movie in the world, it did have its flaws and the special effects were so-so at points and the plotline was a bit thin, it was a moderate-sized hit, and if you've seen the flick, a third film is on the cards. It did well enough to warrant that. And obviously, there was Kong Skull Island at the top of 2017, which was a modest-sized hit, and also had ties to the Godzilla Expanded Universe as well, if you stuck around for the stinger at the tail end of the credits. But starting things off with, I'm going to take a look at Godzilla, Planet of Monsters. Basically, what you're dealing with here is a Netflix series of films that are essentially based in Japanese anime. Now, you could turn around and say that this is basically a case of stating the obvious, that a lot of these films could have been done, and I am truly surprised that it took this long for Toho to produce something like this. Now, I want to state that I'm thinking more on the lines of this is going to be a trilogy of films rather than a single entity before I start with my review here, because to be quite frank, I wasn't particularly impressed with it, but there are greater things to come in the future with this series. This film got an advanced release in Japan, obviously, by 5 or 6 months before it even hit here in the States, and I actually took a floater day to go see it when it hit on Netflix. Now, to be perfectly blunt, I am no fan of Japanese anime. I have friends who adore this sort of thing, but it just bores me to tears. Applying it to a Godzilla film I thought was a calculated risk, but it bore some fruit. The film was done with both traditional Japanese animation and CGI, which gives it the overall picture quality, a kind of quirky Adobe Illustrator quality that doesn't always work, and the shadows look very forced at points if you watch it close, and for those of you who are fans of this, you'll understand what I'm getting at. It can be very distracting, and it took me out of the moment more than once. Now, on to the plot. Remember, this is a trilogy of films. If this would have been a standalone, I wouldn't have been able to bear it. It moves slow. Essentially, it's a take off on the Destroy All Monsters plot line yet again, with alien invaders actually being benefactors this time and aligning with mankind to help rid the Earth of monsters, in particular Godzilla, who turns into the biggest threat of all. Unfortunately, nothing seems to work. An early prototype Mechagodzilla is developed, which fails, which forces humanity along with the alien benefactors to flee the planet, leaving it to Godzilla himself. It gets interesting after that. Humanity returns after 20,000 years to find a completely different planetscape, with Godzilla dominating and the world a much, much different place than what they left it. Is this a good film? I'm going to have to see Part 2 and Part 3 when they show up. A little note on that, Part 2 is due any day on Netflix. There was a rumor going around the internet that it was going to be released prior to June 18th, but that never materialized. I am uncertain on whether it's supposed to pop up in Japan or America first, but from everything I have read up to this point, it will be a simultaneous release. However, nothing has been released in terms of information on that. But going back to the film itself, it moves slow, and there are tons of exposition and pontification speeches by a lot of the characters, and as I mentioned earlier, it does wear thin after a certain point. The main beef of the action is in the last third of the film, and for an animated film, it does play off quite well. The first 10 minutes are very good, introducing both the character's current situation plus a bit of background and backstory to the entire scope of the project that Toho is launching with this. Longtime Toho and kaiju fans will catch all kinds of Easter eggs that are peppered throughout this introduction, and as I mentioned before, this is the first part of a trilogy of animated films, and the groundwork for what happens in Part 2 and 3 is laid down, apparently, from what I have read in this first installment. Also worthy of note, Toho went to great pains to create a huge, painfully extensive backstory for this trilogy. Look on YouTube or do a Google search. There are several pieces on it by other people who have much more patience than I do, and it's a really good read or listen. It basically describes what happens beginning around 1999 or so in terms of the rise up of the monsters and Godzilla's role in the entire scenario. Well worth investigating if you're a fan of this sort of thing. And once again, Godzilla undergoes yet another redesign, this one in tune with him being a sort of protective guardian angel of the Earth, as he is kind of like a big, hulking, fat stalk of broccoli in this film. Yes, people, Godzilla is vegetable matter brought to life in this film. Hey, I didn't write it, they did. Go yell at them. To be fair, the design isn't bad, though. He looks like he definitely needs to get a Stairmaster and lay off of late-night runs to Taco Bell.
Oh, good grief.
Wrapping this end of things up here, Toho have done far, far worse with Godzilla in their 65-year history with the character. And I'm still going to take a look at what Part 2 and Part 3 are going to bring, but from all accounts and reports that I have heard, that is where the beef of the action and the storyline will occur. So, for the time being, I'll say check it out, but don't expect, you know, a masterpiece along the lines of Godzilla vs. the Thing, Destroy All Monsters, or anything along those lines. It's part one of a trilogy. Have patience and get through it. Who knows? We may be onto something special. You'll find out when I find out, and thank you, Netflix.
Guys, stop. We gotta talk this through. It's good talk.
No, it wasn't.
And speaking of talking, I'm not quite done yet.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and now you do. Essentially, I'm going to bring you up to speed on what's going on in both the legendary Godzilla film and Toho roster camps. For starters, as most people at this point know, the sequel to 2014's legendary film Godzilla, titled Godzilla, King of the Monsters, is due for release on May 31st of 2019. There was recently some brief comic convention footage. I forgot where it was at. It leaked on the net very briefly, but you didn't see much. You got a good look at the redesign of Godzilla, essentially the 2014 legendary, a bit streamlined and a little bit trimmer. And from what I have heard, because I haven't seen much of it, but you also get a quick look at King Ghidorah as well. Now, there were test screenings recently, I think it was back in May, and they were very positive. Granted, all the CGI was not completely in place, and the participants were acting to keep things hush-hush, but the general consensus was it was a better film with a lot more action, and overall, a better movie than the 2014 project. As we all know, this film will bring together Rodan, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, echoing the 60s films like Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, Monster Zero, and Destroy All Monsters with a huge monster mash set up for the climax of the film. This will lead into Godzilla vs. Kong, tentatively slated for a May 22nd, 2020 release, and unlike the 1962 film King Kong vs. Godzilla, this film will have a definitive victor at the end of the monster mash. My money's still on the big lizard. A bit of a disclaimer here. The release dates for both of these films are tentative. Keep in mind, the initial Godzilla sequel was slated originally for a 2018 release, and then for a March 2019 release, and only recently got pushed to the May 31st date. So, who knows if he'll make it, and again, keep that in mind in regards to Godzilla vs. Kong. As well, these dates are not set in stone. Aside from cast member inclusions, not a lot is known about either film, Godzilla vs. Kong in particular, so we're just going to have to wait. If Legendary follows the patterns they've been doing with their films, we should see our first taste of a teaser trailer for King of the Monsters towards the tail end of this year or the top of 2019 itself. But again, referring to Legendary's patterns, my money is on December, as they will only have 6 months left to promote the film by that point, and they had quite the hype machine with the 2014 film, so take your clues from there. Now, bringing things up to speed with Toho itself, they recently announced that there will be no Godzilla films forthcoming from the company until 2020 after the release of Godzilla vs. Kong due to contractual obligations. Shin Godzilla kind of slipped between the cracks, but once again, you have all these copyrights floating around, and Toho is under contract to Legendary to not produce any further films until their own trilogy concludes in 2020, so take your clues from there. Also, take of note, it was recently announced that any further Godzilla films will be part of a shared universe along the lines of what Marvel is doing nowadays with its Avengers films, or, if you will, the somewhat abortive Universal Monster reboots that have been failing miserably ever since they started to do this again. Honestly, I have much higher hopes for Toho's integration of all their characters. It's been a long time since we've seen Rodan, Mothra, Ghidorah, and some of the other classic creatures as well, and if they're going to play mix and match with these films, they're pretty much interchangeable. I think it's just going to come down to fan pressure, who goes into what film, etc., etc. Before I've been reading online on the message boards and such, the fans are very enthusiastic about this, and I suspect it will come off pretty well. But like I said, we've got a few years to wait. Let's let the legendary films run their course up until then. So, until Legendary's second Godzilla film hits us in May, we have a little bit of wait until the second Toho Japanese anime Godzilla hits on Netflix, and my guess is it's going to be July or August from my reliable sources. But I have to admit, for a character with 65 years in running, things are looking very healthy for the King of the Monsters and his fan base. And ever shall it be, you just can't kill the classics.
That's not going away anytime soon.
So, wrapping this thing up, comments, critiques, suggestions, drop me a line at erveister@wooh.rr.com or look me up under Facebook under Eric Veister. You can catch me on both. However, you're going to get me quicker on Facebook, but I do respond to personal emails. And thank you for the one or two of you who have sent me a few lines. I appreciate what you said. Also, take a gander at my Blogspot page, the Veister's Halloween Haunt Journal, full of news and reviews that you can use. Granted, it hasn't been updated in a while, but before the year is out, there's going to be quite a bit flurry of activity on there, but I'll keep that under my hat for now. Next time on the Vista, more than likely I am going to resume my look at horror and comics with a little piece on the history of horror comics themselves. It actually goes further back than a lot of people think, and there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye, so be here in 2 weeks for that. So until then, always remember Svengoli's credo and brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite mama goodnight, and always remember that I hid the body because I ran out of stupid things to say and I just can't think of anything else to add to these anymore. So in all honesty, until next time, enjoy the extended July 4th weekend. I hope you don't get rained out and have your backyard turn into a swamp.
Don't go this way! Quicksand! Not this way! Quicksand!
Have fun, drive responsibly, and we will see everybody again in 2 weeks' time. Take care until then.
And ladies and gentlemen, we want to just say thank you for listening, and welcome to all the new listeners out there. We have picked up a lot of new listeners since Transworld. We hope you're enjoying the show. We hope you will continue to listen for a long, long time to come. Now, for all you new listeners and you veterans out there, this is the time of the show where we like to reward our listeners by having our gruesome giveaway for the month of July, sponsored by our very good friends at Screamline Studios. Go to ScreamlineStudios.com, check out all their really, really cool stuff, or if you're lucky, you might win something right here on the show. I'm going to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. And all you have to do in order to win is to send us your name, your phone number, and of course, the answer, and email it to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight on Monday, July 16th. It's just that simple, folks. We'll pick a random entrant, and you'll have the chance to win the gruesome giveaway. Previous winners not eligible to win again. So, folks, without further ado, the question, and this is an easy one, the question for the July gruesome giveaway is, during Veister's Haunted Vista, he announced that Toho Studios has announced they will be producing no new films until when? following the release of Godzilla vs. Kong. We're looking for a specific year, and it's an easy one, folks. If you think you know the answer, send it to us, contest@bigscaryshow.com, along with your name and number, before midnight, July 16th, and you might be a winner here on the Big Scary Show's gruesome giveaway, sponsored by our very good friends at ScreamlineStudios.com. Good luck, folks.
Death awaits on the Big Scary Show. In 1897, Dr. Alexander Hammond arrived at an institution for the criminally insane, only to discover the unsolved murders of several guards.
Drivers, where are we?
Jerry Vane takes you into Black Moon Asylum, a twisted abyss of torment, madness, and the horrifying mystery of Patient 292.
Time for your medication.
Black Moon Asylum, a symphonic journey into darkness from instrumentalist Jerry Vane. Download Black Moon Asylum at jerryvane.com, iTunes, cdbaby.com, Amazon MP3, and your favorite download site.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors: Screamline Studios, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Ticket Leap, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out maulmonsters.com. That's maulmonsters.com. Drew Badger, actor, trainer, and consultant. Find out more at rabidbadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the hauntstrumentalist. For all your heavy metal and haunt needs, jerryvane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.